Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's 5 at 5 with Molly and Hall, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Molly Hall. 5 at 5 with Molly and Hall starts now.
Did Mitch Trubisky really hurt his hip, or did Matt Nagy make a change in quarterbacks late in the fourth quarter based on Mitch's poor performance?
I think that he really hurt his hip. I really do think he hurt his hip, because why not? If you're going to take him out, why make up an injury? So what? So you can go away from him for a few weeks. And the other thing is, anyone see Chase Daniel play? I mean, mother of God, this is not the answer. I think he hurt his hip, and I'm going to take them at their word for it. And I hope that his hip heals, because Mitch needs to play every second of the season now. It's kind of a lost season, so you need to learn something. I actually thought, and again, the bar is like, I mean, imagine if you had to somehow leap over a matchbox. That's where we're at now in measuring this guy. I thought he was all right. I mean, look, 7 points, come on. There's no excuse for it, but I thought they came out and they ran the ball, you know, high snap, run the ball out of the shotgun. Mully falls off his chair. I mean, good, yeah. Mother of God. And they convert a first down, though. It wasn't a three and out. And that, to me, is huge progress for this offense.
The fact that we wondered, though, the fact that as people watched that game in real time, we wondered if this was a benching, underscores to me just how bad he's been. Because he hasn't earned the benefit of the doubt. You wondered, well, geez, what is he doing here? He's taking him out of the game. He must have gotten as fed up as everybody watching Mitch Trubisky play quarterback. The bar is low. He was better. There were some throws that he made that were nice plays. There were some throws that he missed that hurt the Bears' offense. No question about it. But it wasn't impossible under those circumstances to think that he would be benched. It was certainly improbable. I mean, it would have been odd and unorthodox, but we're talking about Matt Nagy here, which he has defined those things this season. So I do think this. I do think he probably was hurt, and I hate to question the toughness or the pain threshold of professional athletes when we don't know things that aren't on the injury report. We don't know what happened in the course of a game. But they need to get their story straight, and I don't think they did that, because, look, if Mitch hurt himself in the second quarter, as he said, and Matt Nagy wasn't aware of it at halftime, something broke down in communication there. If it happened in the third quarter or fourth quarter, whenever it did, then why was Mitch saying it was the second quarter? And if you've got a quarterback with a bad hip, don't run an option on third and one. How about that? Don't put your quarterback out there on third and one and try to make a play. So I think that moving forward, yeah, bring him back slowly. Yeah, be gingerly about it. You know what? Doesn't really matter.
Yes, the quarterback hurt his hip, and Matt Trestman made a change based on performance, because he knew he hurt his hip, and he had him out there, and he wasn't performing, wasn't doing anything. He said, okay, let's get him out of there. But yeah, you're right. Let's get the story straight for once. Can we do that? My God. He's out there saying it's the second quarter, and he was evaluated at halftime, and Nagy said it was a few possessions before he was pulled from the game. So, Nagy, what you're telling me is you as the head coach, you did not know your quarterback was injured in the first half, and you didn't know that your quarterback was evaluated for an injury at halftime. That's what Matt Trestman was telling the world last night. And, you know, maybe the head coach should have a clue. Maybe you shouldn't find out from Dave Ragone during the game in the second half.
Rags?
Yeah, he's the one that informed him. Not a trainer. No, not that. Rags, the holdover from the John Fox era. Trubisky, yeah, it wasn't that bad. Okay, great. I saw 7 points. I get it. Receivers dropping more passes. O-line under pressure all night. Nagy, bad play caller. But again, it's now 9 times in 10 games this great Bears offense has failed to get 300 yards of total offense.
That's bad.
In the year 2019. It's all a problem.
It's all very much a problem. And Molly, you're spot on about the bar being so ridiculously low that we're actually this morning praising Trubisky for his performance last night. And I know the pick wasn't his fault, and he wasn't getting a lot from the offensive line to help him out either. But the quarterback rating 65.1. He didn't break 200 yards. He wasn't completing passes with any sort of consistency or regularity whatsoever. I'm not going to call it a good game. Maybe by default, it was one of his better games of the season, which is where we are right now, is shocking. And, you know, you guys talked about it a little bit on Friday. You know, the number one pick in the draft versus the number two pick in the draft the year after that. And this was the performance that those two put on last night. Just absolutely dreadful. Mitch was hurt, yes. I'm sure his hip wasn't feeling good. He was getting thrown around a little bit. But I think had he been playing well, he would have probably stayed in the game. I think this was partially due to, wow, we have an excuse to take him out of there right now and see if Chase Daniel can give us anything. And, of course, he did not do that either. You might as well have suited up Rags and let him stand behind Cody Whitehair and handle one of his high snaps last night. Because, you know, Chase Daniel sure as hell wasn't doing it, and Mitch sure as hell wasn't doing it either.
Now, nobody loves a good conspiracy theory more than me, but the issue here is communication breakdown, right? When did it happen? Was it halftime or was it the third? Because as David pointed out, that pistol play where everybody is reacting to.
Oh, God.
What okay? a terrible
short
play.
Short-sighted field.
First of all,
one
if,
of the worst calls
hurt,
in the history
of mankind.
If he's
hurt, you don't call that play, number one.
Right.
Right. If he's hurt, you don't call the play. Number two, if you don't know he's hurt and you call that play, you're bad. And number three, if you're not hurt and that's the way you executed it, Mitch Trubisky, it's really, really bad. Okay. I mean, that was awful.
It's a terrible play
that
call.
That was awful.
Short
it was a terrible
field.
Play call.
I mean,
but
he's
trying to outsmart everybody.
That's what
meaning the head coach, offensive coordinator. He's trying to, and then his quarterback lets him down like that. What I'm curious about in the picture that's all over the internet, and it's easy to freeze frame things to make it look like something, but I mean it looks like when they finally take him out of the game, that Nagy's like, you're done. Like, it, I mean,
it, oh, Mitch viewed it as a benching. Like, it looked
I'm
like
saying,
he took
like,
it that
Mitch,
way.
Mitch, like his
yeah.
forehead and his nose are on Nagy's shoulder. Like he's almost ready to weep. I mean,
and the press conference,
right? I mean, it looks like he's just like it's all just coming down upon him all at once. Like he told him like. Son, I'm sorry, but your mom texted and your childhood dog ran off during the game. I mean, he looks just...
He was like a little boy. He was so scared.
Defeated.
What kind of question is that?
Did the Bears defense play well enough to win? Which was more surprising, Khalil Mack not appearing in the stat sheet or Raquan Smith flying around like his rookie season again?
Well, I know which one was more disappointing. I mean, Khalil Mack was supposed to wreck this game plan. Khalil Mack was supposed to be the guy that was going to one-up Aaron Donald and be, you know, have his primetime moment. Khalil Mack is the guy in the intro, for goodness sake, upstaging Carrie Underwood. If he's that good, then he needs to back it up. Or else don't share the stage with Carrie Underwood. That was a defensive effort, though, overall, even without his contributions. That was good enough to win. If you give up 17 points on the road against a Sean McVay-coached offense, I think that you should feel pretty good about what you did defensively. I don't think you feel great about it. You missed some tackles. I thought there were some breakdowns in the secondary. Eddie Jackson did not have a great night, even though he did rip the ball out of Todd Gurley's gut. That was a nice takeaway. You did get the takeaways that you were missing in the first quarter. They didn't lead to much or anything, but you did have that. Cooper Kupp got behind the defense. That's looked like a breakdown in coverage.
What was Eddie doing on that play?
You can't have that.
My God.
Can't have that. The other 51-yarder was something that was brought back because of an illegal formation. Bears get a break there. But look at the numbers, and the Rams ran 52 plays. They had 173 yards rushing. Jared Goff looked anything but the number one overall pick in the draft. 283 total yards. You did play good enough You did get some good contributions for Roquan Smith. That was nice to see. That was a bit of a surprise. But your offense and your kicker didn't let you win.
Yeah, Danny Trevathan out, and Roquan really did step it up. I was very impressed with his performance and felt good about it, and was texting back with a friend about it, and a lot of theories floating around in our little minds, but I thought he played really well. I thought he looked like he was the way we thought he was going to play all year, and that's great. Mac, we've seen this before. Teams gear their entire game plan to stop him, and apparently they can. Because he did not have much impact on the game. But they did play well enough to win. The goal for any defense going into a game is to hold the opponent to 17 points. The goal for the Bears defense has now got to be to hold an opponent to 6.
Wow. For the third time this season, the Bears have allowed 17 or fewer points and they've lost the game outright. Third time this year, 17 or fewer points and they've lost. With that said, hell no, the defense didn't play well enough. This was supposed to be the Khalil Mack and the national stage sack party again. And he's got one sack in his last 6 games. You know, it's not all about sacks. We know about all the forced fumbles. Go back to last year and all that. And the impact of just putting pressure on the quarterback. He's not doing that. Nobody was doing that. Against a Rams offensive line that was dealing with cluster injuries, the bunch of backups out there. And they were a poor old line when they're healthy. But now you've got backups out there, and it wasn't a problem all night. And Todd Gurley turned back the clock a little bit to a couple of years ago when he got paid. And one drive, you saw 10 yards, 9 yards, 11 yards, 133 scrimmage yards for Gurley. You knew that's what they were going to do. They're missing receiver 1, receiver 2. They only have Cup. They have issues on the offensive line. They're going to have to be a running team. What is a good head coach? Yeah, he uses the run game.
It grasps the obvious.
Yeah, absolutely. So the more surprising thing was Mack, and the defense did not play well enough, even though they allowed only 17 points.
You know, in fairness to Matt Nagy, and he's going to get killed all day, and rightfully so, David Montgomery averaged 2.2 yards carry yesterday, and the offensive line wasn't creating anything for him. They actually did attempt to run the ball a little bit. I don't think they wanted Mitch to throw it 43 times, which is what he ended up doing. They probably wanted to look something more like what Los Angeles did with Goff, where he was only 11 for 18. You don't let him go out there and chuck the ball so much so he can give the game away. I mean, they tried to establish the rush. It's just it wasn't quite working.
Pound Tariq Cohen. I got you, Kevbo. That's great. That's
first
great
two,
strategy.
The first two plays of the game.
Tariq Get Cohen that guy between the tackles.
Yeah, that was brilliant.
That'll
there.
Fool everyone.
It's
can't find him.
Exactly.
He's just trying to go under.
They accidentally stepped on him at one point.
I wasn't that surprised with Roquan Smith playing as well as he did. It was nice to see. I think probably we can assume now that maybe the dip in his play earlier this year was connected to whatever personal thing he was going through, which caused him to miss a game. And hopefully that's all behind him. Khalil Mack not registering a stat last night, I guess, was a little surprising, but as you guys were just saying, it's the more and more we see him play like this and not play up to his potential, the less surprising it gets, which is concerning because he should be in his prime right now. He should be looking the way that he looked last season, the way that he looked for Oakland, and he hasn't been that guy this year. And all week long, you hear about the offensive line of the Rams and how bad it is and all these backups. And this is the game where the defensive line for the Bears finally start eating and they look like the 2018 Bears. It didn't happen. And we're seeing it more and more frequently with Mack. And it's really, really disappointing.
I mean, I'm not surprised that the defense played well enough to win. They did. And we expected Goff to be on the run when he went back to throw the ball. I mean, you knew going in what the game plan was going to be. If the Rams were going to be successful, they're going to take the ball out of Goff's hands. Number one, because he stinks. And number two, because 3/5 of their offensive line was either in a new spot or back playing again or
right.
Was having their first start ever in the NFL. And you didn't do anything about it. Yeah, I'm surprised about Roquan. It did look like last year. But for Khalil Mack to not even make the sheet other than number of reps and time on the field That's unacceptable. I mean, that now
it's like a stay-at-home defenseman,
right? You almost have to like rewatch that now. Like now, I want to when I rewatch the game, when I put myself through today's punishment, right? It's now I'm going to like. Did they move him around at all? Did he stay in one spot all night long, or did they actually move him around in front of different people? Because if they didn't, then shame on the defense. Then just shame on the coaches. Call it. I mean, you've got to notice that he can't just be in one spot. There's got to be a matchup that he can win. If they're gonna, they can't double team him every single place. Why couldn't he line up inside? Why does he always have? And the other thing is, why does he always have to go so far around? You know, when he does set up and they've got a tackle and a tight end, why does he have to go into another zip code to go around the tight end to try to eventually get? Because he does get close. He does put hot breath on guys. But if he didn't make this huge loop, maybe he would actually touch the guy.
You raise a lot of great questions.
Well, will Eddie Pinheiro be a Bear by the end of this week and by the end of this month, by the end of this year? Should he be?
Boy, I mean, listen, how did the Bears get eliminated last year? You look at the general manager, Ryan Tradeup, and you wonder if there was no kicker worth going after, could he not have dealt some picks and moved up? And they did not address that position, okay? They didn't address the position. They had this farcical run at it that people were making fun of them all over the place. And here we are in week 10, week 11, I guess, and everybody's laughing at him, and they had exactly what you knew was coming. Did they give up a draft pick for Pinheiro? Did they give
seventh rounder?
Yeah. So let me ask you, has that kicked in? Because is there any chance you could get
that
back?
It was five games on the roster, I believe.
Yeah, that is really a pity, because you should have done something about that. So that actually cost you draft capital.
They don't care about seventh rounders. I mean,
they don't care about anything.
They let Kareth White go to the Steelers because he was on the practice squad, and they didn't promote him. You see that over the weekend?
Yeah, I saw that.
That's a bad weekend for Ryan Pace.
Joke.
I don't know if he will be a Bear by the end of this season. It sounds like he'll be a Bear by the end of this week. Matt Nagy asked four times after the game about Eddie Pinheiro's status, and four times he doubled down and said Eddie is our guy. He, you know, this is a guy in Eddie Pinheiro who last night cost the Bears a football game. You could make that argument, and I think you wouldn't be out on a limb. He is 3 for his last 7 field goal attempts. He's also missed an extra point. He did help you beat Denver. Congratulations, out of thin air. Out of thin air, you won that game with a field goal. But I don't know how much you can trust him moving forward. I don't know how much you should. If you really mean what you say about accountability, you'll have 5 kickers at Hallis Hall on Tuesday trying to find out if they're better than the guy you have, because the guy you have has cost you 2 football games.
Matt Trussman said again and again he has ultimate trust in Eddie Pinheiro. Ultimate trust. Make one kick and you're good. Ultimate trust forever. He'd rather go 4th and 9 than offense that's just about the worst, or at least bottom 5 in every category. Everything. You don't have Lamar Jackson, you don't have Patrick Mahomes, you have Mitchell Trubisky and everybody else. I mean, that was his 6th missed kick, that second one. He is on pace for more missed kicks than Parkey had last year. Glad to see NBC was able to find pace up there. Hiding out. No, Pinheiro should not be here. They should have a bunch of kickers. That was one thing that was surprising in the post game to hear Nagy say, oh, no. He's here. He's our guy. Nobody's coming in.
I think he'll be here. I don't know who they're going to replace him with. What, are you going to kick the tires on Elliott Fry again? Are you going to lure him away from the glitz and the glamour of the XFL?
Somebody who's kicked in temperatures lower than 40.
He's on the St. Louis Battlehawks now.
You know, the irony here is that he's supposed to miss those kicks at home. He missed them on the road.
Well, he didn't practice at the Coliseum during the week.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. He wouldn't take the chopper.
Who was the kid with the Ravens early? Vedvik? Are they gonna give him a call? Yeah,
where's he?
I don't know.
Give up a draft pick for him?
Vedvik.
Listen, I think Pinheiro's going to be here for the foreseeable future, unless he goes out and he's over for the rest of the year. I think they'll probably cut bait at that point. But this is just. It's deja vu, and it's horrible with the kicking situation. I mean, we thought we were past it. Do you remember after the Broncos game, when everybody wanted to put this kid in the Hall of Fame, and there was this dumb article on Yahoo? It's like, oh, how Eddie Pinheiro became a folk legend of the Chicago Bears.
Yeah. Remember training camp?
Oh, my God.
Remember how much he believed it?
Eddie?
How he hurt himself on the victory lap, didn't he?
If you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you better start because he's real.
Boy, that seems like a long time ago.
Yes, he is real, Eddie. Thank you for sharing that. I mean, what are you saying to the defense that has held opponents to this low score when you don't bring a guy in?
Right.
And is it really Matt Nagy's decision? Isn't that Ryan Pace's job? I mean, were they texting each other? How does he know they're not going to bring somebody in? And shame on them if they don't. Absolutely shame on them if they don't.
And should Trade Up have a word with him about the play calls and the decisions, like 4th and 9?
Well, I think the 4th and 9 is up for debate, Mully, because at that point, also to the point of the team, like, I think he was telling his defense, like, listen, we're not going to hand it over to Eddie. Like, let's see, maybe we can get a pass.
I don't know, man. Call. I think he's telling America our kicker can't kick straight.
I don't think he was telling the defense or the offense.
Well, right. That's why he went for it on 4th and 9. I mean, you're saying he should have tried to kick. Both of you think he should have tried to kick.
Well, the blind squirrel offense is not going to work. Okay,
is the kicker got
Mitch's arm is almost as inaccurate as Eddie's leg.
Okay, that's fair.
The
but
blind
I mean,
squirrel offense is nuts.
I mean, of all the things that I'm upset with Matt Nagy about, going for it on 4th and 9 is probably 6th or 7th this morning.
It's a long list.
I'm not done yet. I'm gonna finish this question.
What did you make of the Colin Kaepernick workout fiasco? Who is to blame? And did Kaepernick lose his last chance?
Well, I was disappointed, and it is complicated. I think that both sides of this debate, on Kaepernick's side and on the league's side, they could find facts to support their strong feelings. My own feelings are that he made it harder for himself to take another snap in the NFL. I have a harder time envisioning him being on an NFL roster now than I did on Friday, when I found maybe just a glimmer of hope on Friday that maybe out of this circus something good could happen. Maybe because seeing was believing, and you had 25 scouts ready to show up at an NFL facility to watch an NFL workout that was legitimate. All that happened was Kaepernick reinforced this notion that he will bring a circus to whatever NFL town he works. He made the circumstances around this workout overshadow the workout. It was a bigger deal that he changed it to a high school, which he had already maybe pre-orchestrated before this, and that was the news. It wasn't his throwing. It wasn't his how in shape he was. It wasn't the interviews that he convinced somebody that he could actually make an impact on their team. Yes, the NFL contributed to this by maybe complicating things themselves, but Cap had more to gain from having a successful workout. He had more at stake from this process. The NFL has the job that Kaepernick wants. He had to make some concessions. He had to do something that, maybe he didn't want to do, but they weren't unreasonable demands. He needs to play football again. I often have said he deserves an opportunity to play in the NFL. It's hypocritical to deprive him that chance, but I think all he did Saturday was come one step closer to never playing in the NFL again.
I heard Screaming Steven, and he sounded very defeated as he said it, and he said that it became obvious to him in this whole situation that Kaepernick would rather be a martyr than a quarterback in the NFL. And, I don't know if that's accurate, but I do know that, the unfortunate reality of the NFL is that they determine what you're doing, where you're doing it, and how you're going to go about it. And you've gone 2 years and 8 months without being able to have a tryout for a team, without being able to go in. Why wouldn't you want to show your skills? Why would you choose? And apparently this thing was in the works for 6 weeks. And, I don't know how quickly the site was or whatever. I saw a story where Jay-Z was hugely disappointed because he had a part in this thing. Yeah. And again, we talked a little bit about it. These scouts flew into Atlanta. 25 teams were represented in Atlanta. They flew in order to watch practice. Many of them had scheduled flights home, and he went an hour away. So you're asking guys to spend 2 hours now getting back and forth from the airport. They had flights. They weren't going to do it. So he sent a video out to all the teams. It was just – it's just sad because the guy should be in the league. He looked pretty damn good from what I saw, the workout. But who knows? And really, at that point, does the NFL even care? So, it's very difficult for teams to win when you're trying to do it in a certain way, when you're trying to say, we're going to win like this, not just win, but we're going to win in this fashion. And the same thing goes on when you apply it to a player. It's not good enough to just be the quarterback of the team. You're going to do it your way. That's not how the league works.
It's not enough just to look like you have a live fastball still. It doesn't.
Yes.
You can't just look like you're athletic enough. There's a lot more that goes into playing quarterback. And he deprived himself and those teams of figuring out that.
Pity.
Why? Yeah.
When this thing was going down on Saturday, I kind of understood the way this whole thing stunk and no cameras allowed. Because if you're Colin Kaepernick, why should you trust the NFL after being blackballed for 3 years of your life? But I think both sides are to blame, and no matter what, he was done. But the one argument where you have to look at Kaepernick is this was the job interview that you've been seeking, and you can't do this at a job interview. You want to work for them, right? So, I would be floored. I'd be shocked if a team ends up signing him now.
Yeah, I mean, no chance. I agree with you, Joe. I think the NFL, trusting the NFL during this process, which I don't know if he did or did not, I think that would be very foolhardy, for lack of a better term. And with the whole situation around Kaepernick and the media attention that he brings and the division between the two sides of this issue, I don't think that a team will bring him in. I don't think that he's going to ever play in the NFL again, and I think that was probably proof. He did look really good. The arm looked good. All of his brand new Nike gear, which will be available shortly, that all looked very good as well. But I think that it was kind of a farce, kind of a dog and pony show, and I don't think that he'll be back in the league anytime soon. If he can kick, maybe Bears can bring him in for a tryout, but otherwise, I don't think so.
This is exactly why he's not in the league. Okay, all these shenanigans. That was he knew when he got on a plane from wherever he got on a plane at to go to Atlanta that he was not going to do the agreed upon workout, and because Nike wasn't going to be allowed in the facility to film a commercial. This is the only person paying him, I guess, on a regular basis, after I'm assuming the lump sum that he got from the NFL, is Nike. So this was all about genuflecting to his current employer, which is Nike. Okay. Does he have an arm? Sure. Does he have athletic ability? Absolutely. But as David, I believe you said, Mully, you agreed with, there is so much more to being a quarterback in the NFL. What is his desire to play the game, to do everything the organization asks you to do to be the second or third quarterback on their team? He's not interested in that. He's not interested in that at all.
Saw two teams last night that could have used him.
Well, I think that's a multifaceted question.
Did the NFL get it right with an indefinite suspension for Myles Garrett? Will his appeal work or make things better?
I like the way the NFL came right out and gave him the indefinite suspension. The more that you see that tape, it's amazing to me how, when I saw it again, I was shocked by it. It's that bad. It's he really thumps the guy in the head with his own helmet. He could have killed someone. So it didn't surprise me. The fact that they're appealing all these suspensions, the fact that he's appealing this suspension, apparently, according to the collective bargaining agreement, you cannot suspend someone indefinitely. So now he's going to go and try to make them, he's forcing them to rule. It would be wiser to wait, sit out the season, and then have several conversations with them, go through some anger management, and work your way back into the league. They could rule anything, frankly. If he really, this could make it worse. They could easily leave this thing into next season, and I mean, he's in trouble here, and I don't know that this is a great idea.
I applaud, as you did, Mully, the league coming out with swift action in response. There was no ambiguity there.
Right.
I think they treated it with the swiftness and severity it deserved. I was surprised a little bit that the backlash at Mason Rudolph. I understand that he's no angel in this, and I'm certainly not condoning anything he did. He kind of was the instigator, but he also got conked in the head with a helmet and the assault with a deadly weapon. I mean, that was a pretty the more you watched it, the harder it was to believe this actually happened on a football field.
Crazy.
But you're right. Myles Garrett, even though there is no language in the CBA, or actually there is a clause that says you cannot be suspended indefinitely for on-field behavior, this isn't the time to push that or explore that. You need to go away for a while. You need to repair your reputation. You need to show that you are just, if in fact, a 23-year-old kid who's learning how to be, you know, mature and be a professional and all these things that people who know you well and have come out to support you. Chris Long, you see some teammates, you see some people who say this isn't who he is. Prove it over time, but you need some time. Time will be the great healer. Let it go for now. You don't want to complicate it anymore. Maybe he plays again next year. I don't think this is a lifetime ban, but I think the last six games of the season, absolutely, that's appropriate, and maybe more next season. Let's just wait and see.
Yeah, absolutely. For once, the NFL got it right. We aren't up in arms over a punishment by the league. His quarterback got it right when he was interviewed right after the game. Usually there's two sides arguing about this. I haven't heard anyone say this is completely unfair. The appeal would not make things better.
No, he should just accept the punishment, which will be the rest of this season. I'm sure he'll be ready to go right out of training camp. He'll be ready week one next year. But they had to do something kind of unprecedented here because it was such an unprecedented thing. And it wasn't just here in the United States. I mean, media all over, even
right.
Like the
national, international story.
Sky Sports, yep. BBC accounts that I follow for soccer coverage were picking up on this ridiculous, crazy helmet swinging thing. So they had to step up. It'll be this season. It'll be back next season. And next time the Browns play the Steelers next year, I wonder if Mason Rudolph will be playing in that game. I think it'll be very interesting if they get on the same field again together.
Bravo, NFL. They got it right. Nice and swift, just as I had hoped. I think the only reason they're appealing it is, again, because we talked about the goofiness in the letter of the CBA. You're not allowed to have an indefinite suspension. So they needed to give an X number of games. The NFL didn't do that. And I think that's why the appeal is being
indefinite, is better than forever.
Correct. I mean, I would have loved forever. I mean, that's just me. That's the only way to, I mean, is it unfair? Absolutely. It's unfair if it's forever, but that's the only way to wake some people up.
All right. That is the 5 at 5, 312-644-6767. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.